The word Habakkuk means embrace or wrestle. Now, if you knew a guy that was coming to pick up your daughter and his first name was Embrace, you probably wouldn't want to send out your daughter. But we're thankful today for this book. We know something of the times of Habakkuk because Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah at that time, took Daniel captive, others captive. It was during the reign of King Jehoiakim in Judah. And he was an evil king. Remember what he did when Jeremiah prophesied against him? He took a knife and he cut up the scroll that Jeremiah had and fed it to the flames and disdained Jeremiah's prophecy. So those were the time. And I like this verse in Jeremiah 2:13. I think it's another definition of sin. For my people have committed two evils, Carolee. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, there's something about leaving God out of your life. And that's like, we were in Israel, and we saw lots of cisterns. Many of them were broken. And you look at that despicable water, and it was stagnant. Would you want to drink out of that? No. So that's what God likens people that have left him out of their life. What was the big problem that Habakkuk had? There were two. And the two problems were, why did God permit the increasing evil in Judah to go unpunished? Do you feel that way as you look around today? Why does the Lord allow such high-handed wickedness? So sad, so much evil. And of course, I'm glad to see these young people that are studying their Bible pretty keen, led in worship today. May that be true. May more of them do that, following the Lord. The other question, how could a God who is holy and just use that wicked kingdom of Babylon to correct his own people? How would he do that? Why would he do that? Because they, of course, the Babylonians were proud. They were conceited, self-sufficient, self-serving. And yet one of the key verses in the book of Habakkuk is the just shall live by faith. There are things in your life and my life we don't understand. Just don't understand. And when Carol's grandmother came through the Depression, they had a storm come through. We've had some great storms through Iowa of late. But they went down in their cellar, and when they came up, everything was gone. They had no insurance in the 30s, and so they had to rebuild their house. We had a couple in our meeting just recently. They had four children, but they had this baby in the last week of her pregnancy. The baby died, and so it was delivered stillborn. So I prayed with those people and spent some time with Seth and Kelly. But I can say this. I don't understand that. I don't have an explanation for it. But we went to the Lord over that. So Habakkuk needed to trust God in the dark. The just shall live by faith. And it's interesting. He went from worry and concern to worship. And that's all in these three chapters. Isn't that great? And you think you get up in the morning, you think, boy, my attitude is just not good. But after a while, it's wonderful. What changes it? And you pick up your Bible and you read, and the Lord encourages you. He turned all of his perplexities and his concerns into praise. You know, the world has been saying, seeing is believing. And when they do that, they mean I'm going to leave God out often. But we believe believing is seeing. We believe the Lord and we see everything. From God's perspective, we're looking to the Lord. We live in a dark world that's desperately wicked and getting worse. And people's hearts are failing for fear. God's still on the throne. That's one of the messages of this book. And here's a little saying, Carol, that God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Isn't that great? You know, we don't see it, but God is there. And our son has been in a lot of war zones, a lot of difficulties, but he sensed, and his mother and dad were praying for him. And the Lord provided for Brian and still provides for Brian. The prophet in chapter 1, let's just read a few verses. Chapter 1, I'm going to read the first four verses. The burden or the oracle the Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. That was his big problem. He looked at Israel and he saw corruption. He saw the idolatry of the people, the injustice that he saw. The hungry and the widows weren't being fed. Children were not being cared for. And that got him angry. He was just mad. He was disgusted. Why, God? Why must I look at this? Well, the Lord had an answer for him. In verse 5, it says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I'm raising up Babylon, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are fierce and dreaded people. They are law to themselves. They promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like vultures sweeping to devour. Well, that's what the Lord was going to use to correct Israel. He didn't like that answer either. He didn't like that at all. I'm working a work. The Babylonians will come. All you have to do is read history today and look back, and the last 100 years have been a bloody time. 6 million people died during World War II. Multitudes slaughtered because of war and violence. Think of how many died in Russia long ago when Stalin was in charge. It wasn't Stalin, was it? But how ugly all of that is. How can God use a sinful nation to correct his own people? Well, in verse 13, one of the objections that Habakkuk raised was, he said, Lord, O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to perish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Well, he was right about that, wasn't he? God is a rock. He's a holy God. He will not tolerate evil. God's holiness was his answer. Why would you use the Babylonians? And God's justice. You know, the Jews had a big thing about justice. This is right. This is wrong. And they looked to a God of justice. But we know another side that Habakkuk did too. And that's God's mercy and God's love. Anytime people say, this world needs to be judged, it needs to be corrected, I'm thankful that he's a God of mercy. And the Hebrew word is hesed. It means unfailing love, steadfast love. Aren't you thankful for that today? And the answer to, does God care about all of this? Does God care about the wickedness that people are experiencing? Well, we go to the cross. We see what the Savior did for us, and the answer is there, isn't it? That person, that place, that work was a demonstration, a complete demonstration that the Lord loves us and provides for us. Phillips wrote it this way: God points us to the cross as the unreserved manifestation of love, so inconceivably infinite as the answer to every challenge that silences all doubters forever. Well, people still doubt, but I think when we go to the cross, we see God's answer. Too often we're impressed by truth or doctrine, but many times the Lord shapes our thinking by pain. Is that true in your life? You know, we have a number of saints in our meeting that have had some really difficult times of late. And it humbles us. We pray for them. We touch hands together. We humble ourselves before the Lord. How do we respond, as Habakkuk was mentioning here, when our prayer is not answered? Well, we wait upon the Lord, don't we? Here's how I look at prayer and how the Lord deals with it. And I don't say this is a complete answer, but aren't you, for a new Christian, it's direct. Lord, help me get that job. He gets a job. Help me with this problem. Get this car fixed. He gets fixed. Direct. And that's the best kind. We like that, don't we? But when it's delayed, like Daniel, he prayed, and it was delayed. Help didn't come right away. And then when Paul prayed, he wanted to go into Europe, and the Lord had him go into Asia. That was different. And then when Paul had the thorn in the flesh, he prayed three times about that, and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And so we can say in all things, whether we get the direct answers or whether they're denied, the Father knows best, doesn't he? You know, how many dads here have had kids come and say, "You know, I want the car, I want to go do this and that," and it's denied. But on the other hand, I'm thankful that God always answers, always deals with us in love. How do we respond when he answers us? We had twins that were part of a school where I was an administrator, Jennifer and Hannah. And my heart just broke for them. Their daddy, who claimed to be a Christian, ran off with another woman. How do you understand that? How do you explain that to two beautiful young teen girls? It's hard to. How do we respond when God does not stop the distress that surrounds us and the problems that come our way? Well, those girls sang Psalms 13. And I can't read Psalms 13 today without thinking of their haunting voices. Here's what it says: "How long will you forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him." But the way the song ends is wonderful. It's the end of Psalms 13. It says, "But I've trusted in thy mercy, thy unfailing, steadfast, eternal love. I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt beautifully with me." And so at the end of the day, that's what we can say, regardless what comes our way. So faith is a victory, we sing. Faith is victory. Wonderful, wonderful victory that overcomes the world. And so we had the prophet worrying, and now we have the prophet waiting and watching. So we'll read a little bit of chapter 2. "I will stand at my watch," and I don't know whether he was up on a cliff and was overlooking something, or whether he did have a tower that he climbed and he sat up there. But here's what it says: "And station myself on the ramparts." Maybe it was on the wall. "I will look to see what he will say to me, what answer I will give to this complaint, what answer I am to give to this complaint. When the Lord replied, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end. It will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by faith." Indeed, wine betrays him. He's arrogant, never at rest, because he's greedy as the grave, and like death is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all people. Well, the righteous shall live by faith. That was the word of encouragement. Habakkuk has three assurances, and one of them is the righteous shall live by faith. When we trust Jesus Christ, we start living, right? You are dead in your trespasses and sins, but when you trusted Christ, you actually started living. And day by day, we put our hand in his hand, and we walk in fellowship with our Lord, and the just shall live by faith. And to think, we talked this morning about being sinners, but he has brought us into a fellowship, changed us, redeemed us. We can say that we're just because he says that. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. And so I'm not only saved that way, but that's how I walk. The just shall live by faith. Jamie Hall had a grandmother that told him one time, Jamie, God is always watching you. That would make him pretty upset. God is always watching you. But then she came back and she said, he's always watching you because he delights in you. You like that answer? The Lord has always got his eye on it. He watches over us. The just shall live by faith. He went to the watchtower to pray and meditate. Isaiah 40:27-31, one of those passages that you love. Isaiah 40 starts with comfort. We all need comfort. It moves to the thought of what God is like. And then it comes back with how we're provided for, what the Lord has done for us. And here's what it says. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fail. Here's the hope part of life. But they that wait upon the Lord or trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they'll walk and not be weary. Has the Lord done that for you? Has he given you renewed strength when the wheels kind of came off your wagon and things were difficult? We used to live on a farm. And we'd take people. I milk cows. I worked from dawn to exhaustion. If I knew anything about social service, I could have turned my dad in for abuse. All the work he wanted me to do. But, you know, we'd take some kids down in the woods, and we'd take them duck hunting. And to get to our choice duck pond, picture yourself walking from a log across a rushing stream that was probably 6 to 8 feet deep from that pew to that wall. And I'm going to have you walk a log. And you'd see these young guys coming around, and girls. We had some young guys, and their knees would be shaking. And I said, you can walk it. And I said, I'll close my eyes and I'll walk it. Right over. And they came, they said, I don't know how I can get across that. I said, the secret is don't look down. Don't look away. Look to where you're going and just walk. Keep your feet one foot in front of the other. Don't worry, we're going to pull you out anyway if you fall in. We'll take you back and dry you up. And they came and their legs were shaking. But I said, just don't look down. Look right ahead. And really, for us anyway, that's what we do. We look right ahead. We look to the Lord. We don't look around us. We don't look back. We look to the Lord, and we can take the journey. Yeah, there are no risk-free paths in life, are there? We all have trouble. We all have problems. And so one assurance is the just shall live by faith. The second assurance is the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's verse 14. You know, one day, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. And as a Christian, we walk through this scene and we're not anchored down by just what's happening around us or our feelings. In fact, we can sing that song. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day, not now, but soon. And when I think of the Lord, I think of God's grace, I think of how he redeems me from sin. When I think of God's glory, I think of one who is here in shame and humility, who will reign in honor and majesty. He will reign his glory. And may he have received glory from us down here. The Lord of hosts hath purposed. Who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? No one. And so he reigns. And Habakkuk says, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. There's something about a Christian that has a happy heart. Amen? And they're looking beyond this to whatever they're dealing with right now. And they say, you know, I have my eyes on the Lord. And I have my eyes on what he is and where I'm going. And I have a happy heart. That's what Paul Harvey used to say the rest of the story, where the believers have. There are five woes that were spoken of in chapter 2. Greed and violent covetousness, murder for gain, drunkenness, sexual perversion, idolatry. Don't those things just demand God's judgment? The pride of man? Absolutely. And we know from Scripture, Galatians 6, you reap from what you sow. You often reap more than you sow, longer than you sow. But the good news, and that's found in verse 20, the Lord is still on the throne. The just shall live by faith. That's his grace. It provides for our salvation and our walk. The reign of the Lord is our hope, that glory soon, very soon, will be ours, and it's his today. But right now, we can thank the Lord for this. The Lord is still on the throne. That's an encouragement to Habakkuk. It didn't look like it, but the Lord is still on the throne. And that's God's government. He rules. And he will put down all evil one day. Every rebellious heart will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. My friend Roland Krauss had his grandson. Roland was a school administrator too. Roland was an older man, but little Charlie wasn't a good boy that day. He was 5 years old. He was throwing rocks at the neighbor's cows. And so he got corrected a number of times. He just did a lot of naughty things that day. And his parents came home. They were out on kind of a day trip to the town. They came back and they said, hey, little Charlie, how'd your day go? He said, it was okay. Would you have fun with Grandpa? He said, well, a little bit. He said, did he have to correct you? Yes. Well, did you learn anything today? Little Charlie said, yes, I learned this. Grandpa's in charge around here. That's not a bad thing to learn. And I believe that too. God is in charge around here. He's the one on the throne. And so we look up and know that there's one on the throne. We look up when we say, glory will be ours. And we look back and we say, God, you've showed me grace, and you will show me grace every day of my life. Habakkuk had asked God, why are you silent when the wicked swallow up and do as they wish? Psalms 46 is about storm and trial. In the end of it, it says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Be still and know that I am God. That's why I like to get in the woods, Jimmy. Just sit there. Let the Lord speak to me. Also shoot a deer once in a while too. But be still and know that I am God. The quietness of our own hearts, the quietness that we have before the Lord, our quiet times, we hear the Lord speaking to us. And Psalms 119 and verse 50, it says, this is my comfort in my afflictions, for your word has given me life. Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6 is a wonderful encouragement for people today. And the word simply, it ends this way. The Lord says this, let your conversation or way of life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, and it's really just a negative topped on to another negative. It says, I will never leave thee. I will never, never, never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What shall man do unto me? The Moffats back there left a girl in Houston, took off for a good time in Iowa, sweet corn, the rest of it, during the flood in Houston. And things were going pretty well for the little gal until the water kept coming up around the neighbors, and they were evacuating neighbors with helicopters and boats. Mama, what am I supposed to do? Mom, what'd you do to me? It's a two-story house. Well, the neighbor said he'd take her with if it got really bad. But you know, the Lord never leaves us nor forsakes us. And that's a real comfort to me. I can't be with my children. And I have, we raised three and have eight grandchildren. And I refuse to worry about them. That's not true of Grandma. She worries about them. Don't want to worry about them. You just want to commit them to the Lord and quiet your heart. So we fight our battles on our needs. John Ryland said this, O Lord, I cast my care on thee. I triumph and adore. Henceforth, my great concern shall be to love and praise thee more. Isn't that great? I'm getting on the praise side of the record or the CD or what are the kids watch today? Prophet praise, and we find that in verses 2 through 5. I think I'm just going to, can I skip a little bit, Carol? Well, let's just go to chapter 3. It's not going to happen. Okay, we'll just go on. Lord, I cast my care on thee. I've triumphed and adored. And here's another one, Psalms. His worship, his triumph. Psalms 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That was a navigator verse. And navigator friends, call upon me, and I will answer thee. What are the elements that God brought into his life? He brought revival. Restore your work in the midst of the years. And then remembrance. In wrath, remember mercy. Here's a little clip from James 2. Mercy triumphs over wrath. Aren't you glad for that? Lord, don't give me what I deserve. Mercy triumphs over wrath. Revelation, he speaks of the hiding of God's power and asks for it to be revealed. I'm so thankful for my Bible. So many times I've been encouraged by the Word of God. Recognition, his ways are everlasting. And at the end, the Lord has an answer for all of it. Verses 3 through 16, the prophet ponders. God himself had made himself known in Israel's history as he looked back. And the lesson is God is faithful. He can be trusted. Let's just talk a minute about faithfulness. You know, I've talked to a lot of kids about the Lord. And of all the sins that people commit, this is the one they hate the worst. When they have somebody in their life and they walk out on them and they're unfaithful. What is about faithful that we value from Scripture? God is absolutely trustworthy. Amen. God is dependable. God is reliable. And because he's faithful, we can know the way of God's salvation. Because he's faithful, we can know that he'll never go back on the words of salvation, that we can have security in Christ. Because he's faithful, every promise in the Scriptures is true, and we can rely on it and count on it. And so we can just say, Lord, indeed, we take you at your word. You are dependable. God will care for his people. Verses 16 through 19, I have to read these. From chapter 3, I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. And then he says this. You know, this thing, this is like the Hallelujah chorus, the way he ended this thing. There's so much doom and gloom in Habakkuk's message, but he says this. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pens and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the high places. And that actually was a hymn given to the choir director. Can you imagine that? Trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. Stanley said that. That's true. I think that's what he was doing. Psalms 121, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. I'm going to lift up my eyes to God. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your keeper. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You know, there are lots of disappointments that come, but to rejoice in the Lord always, Paul wrote in Philippians, and again I say rejoice. All right, get your heart happy in the Lord. I will transfer the burden. Do you like that? You know, there's someone that can handle the burden. You know, my son played football at the Air Force Academy. He's just one strong guy. He could pull the wagon, so to speak, and shovel oats all day. His sister came back, who was playing basketball and an athlete in high school, and she said, Brian, she said, I can take care of myself. He said, you think you can, Kim? She said, I'm not too concerned. And he said, try this. And he just went over and grabbed her. And he said, now get out of it. Well, she was just grabbed by a gorilla. He benched nearly 400 pounds. And so get out of it if you want. Not a bit. You only get out of it when he wants to let you go. That's what happens. Humble yourselves, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Tom Bremer was in a gas station. This lady was all down. She was discouraged. Casey's. And he said, Tom said to her, he said, I've got a prescription for you. She said, what is it? Well, it's something that Peter wrote in his book. You can have a worry-free day today. How so? Well, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He may have given her the gospel too, I'm not sure. But that's how to have a worry-free day. God wants to use the difficulties of life to strengthen our faith. It makes us stronger. You know, there are guys that are working out on the cross-country teams and the football teams and soccer teams. The coach doesn't say, you know, we're going to pass out cupcakes today and everybody's going to have a happy time. We're going to sit down here and enjoy life. No. He just turns up the heat and they say, I'm dying. I'm going to tell my mama how you're treating me. Not really. So what's the message of this little book? We can't always judge what the Lord is doing by appearance, can we? But by the word of God and the solid promises that he makes. And that verse that Carol had up, they that know thy name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken, thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that ask me. We drove down here, and when Carol was weighing, I'd turn here, we were in this town. She said, you made the wrong turn. And I said, well, I might have, but I read the right sign. And so, let's see, I think we're on the right road. And down the road we went. Well, it's the right road. I'm not the perfect driver, and she's given me lots of instructions to get better, and I'm working on it. You might have that too. You know, we took some flights to the Middle East when our son was over there. And I tried to sleep and I couldn't, but I got real tired. I said, Carol, do you think I should go up there and knock on the cabin door and say, pilot, are you awake now? Are you, how are you doing? Don't get sleepy, don't go to sleep on us. We want to get to Egypt, we want to go to Israel. I didn't do that. We don't do that to the Lord. He never slumbers or sleeps. We can just quiet our hearts and look to him. We just commit the matter to him. You know, I like what it was said about Joseph. Always we honor the Lord. We receive your joy from him and not circumstances. He will direct you. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But I like Joseph. It says Potiphar put everything. He didn't concern himself with anything, but put it all in Joseph's hand. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could trust God like that? Habakkuk teaches us that no matter what, we honor the Lord and we receive our joy from him, and he'll make our paths sure. He rules. That's why he's sovereign. He's infinite in wisdom. He knows. And he's perfect in love. He cares. God's love is always best for us. He knows what's best for us because he loves us. He wants what's best for us. And then he has the power to cause it to happen. Amen? Yeah, you can trust the Lord. And every day, praise the Lord. I will extol thee, praise enthusiastically. I will bless thy name every day. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. There's a lady that came to a Hy-Vee grocery store, and her name was, I can't think of her name, but she was always singing a hymn. And Vivian. I said, Vivian, do you have a song every day? And she's Black American. And I said, Vivian, I love your songs, and I love you singing those hymns. And she said, well, the Lord has just given me a happy heart. I said, well, it's given me a happy heart as well. You've done it. Sighs are turned into songs. Discouragement is a choice. Don't let circumstances control you. Don't be a victim of your feelings. Choose to listen to God. Choose the joy response, joy in the Lord. Don't let what you can't control destroy what you can enjoy. That's a good quote, isn't it? You just rejoice in the Lord today, quiet your heart, enjoy what he gives. And are we bowed down to that Petunia deal? Here's no whining, complaining. Well, we got that. All right, next. Wait with patience and true hope. Watch with the eye of true faith. Work with the zeal of true love. Here it is. Here's the end of the program, folks. Along a busy street, Duff Avenue, some noble soul put some right on the corner, had some petunias growing. We knew that night there was going to be a hard freeze. But as we came by, it was quite a group of petunias, and they were all waving in the breeze. They didn't know what was coming that night. And after that, they disappeared. And I thought, you know, to the end, I want to be shining up some beauty and glory. And if the Lord wants me to wave in the breeze and be happy in him, that's what I want to be. I don't know what's coming in the morning, but he knows. And so there's a little inspiration from living with those petunias. We're going to stop there. And if Jimmy's watch is correct, it's time for me to stop. So let's just pray. Father, we confess that it's hard for us to trust when we don't understand. We have questions. So many things in life come at us that are so ill-defined, so difficult. We're thankful, Lord, that even in those dark days, we can trust you as the light of the world. We thank you, Lord, you've never let us down. You'll keep every word, every promise. And you promise to walk with us and be our guide, to be our helper. We thank you today that you can make the dark things, you can bring the light into the dark things in our life. give us strength to walk on and to be for you. We pray that we would have that testimony right up until the end, that we know you, we love you, and we walk with you in faith and hope. We're thankful for our meeting today. We pray your blessing on the young people as they study the word with John. We thank you, Father, for all the young people that are learning lessons today. We pray that you'll raise up warriors for yourself. We thank you, Father, for the book of Habakkuk. And we confess that when things are dark and difficult, we will trust in you. And we pray now and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.